Perhaps no other word in the English language gets misunderstood, misinterpreted, or abused so much as the word love. And yet we have to know what this word means, because Jesus tells us plainly today that he gives us a new commandment, like the Ten Commandments given to Moses. These are the things that we absolutely have to do. And his new commandment is that we are to love one another. Now, love in our English language anyway, we used to mean all kinds of things. I can say that I love my mom and dad. I love God. I love dogs. I love my sister, kind of. And, you know, we use love. I love pizza or, you know, food or Oreos. Oh my gosh, I love Oreos. Now, hopefully we mean something different when we say I love Oreos versus I love God. But yet it's kind of confusing because we use the same word. And in fact, we use the same word to eighth graders who are dating each other might say, I love you. And two people who have been married for 50 years might say, I love you. And those are two very different kinds of things. So we really have to unpack that to know, well, what does Jesus mean when he says, love one another? Well, of course, he gives us a little clue, because he says, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. So if we want to know what it is that God is asking us, we need to know, like, well, how does God love? How did Jesus love? Of course, we talked a little bit last time about how God in the Trinity is a communion of love, three persons divinely sharing love. Well, we know then that love brings about not self-satisfaction, but makes us a gift to someone else. That's why it's so incredible that Jesus would say that he loves us. God, who made everything, who is in control of everything, who would have every right to treat us as his slaves, as his creation, says, no, no, not do I call you slaves. For a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. Rather, Jesus tells us, I love you. And because I love you, you then must also love one another. John Paul II famously tells us that the opposite of love is not hate, but the opposite of love is use. To use another person for my own gratification. That is the opposite of love. Love says, I will what is the best for you, no matter what it costs me. That's where society gets love so wrong, doesn't it? Because oftentimes we talk about falling in love, or I fell in love and I fell out of love. Like, you know, I was just walking down the street and one day I just like fell in a hole. Oh, I'm in love. Now, the emotional experience of attraction and infatuation, sure, we might, you know, be infatuated with someone at first sight, but you don't fall in love like in a hole. Love might start with that kind of overwhelming emotional experience, but ultimately every kind of love is going to involve commitment, the deep kind of commitment that Jesus showed to us. So when he says, as I have loved you, we have to ask, well, how did Jesus love us? Well, this whole gospel comes from the Last Supper. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, wow, he was betrayed, handed over for us, and it says he always loved those in the world, and he loved them to the end. So we know that love, if we measure it by Jesus, is self-sacrificing. He gives up his life. He gives up himself, everything for us. It pours itself out for the good of another. And it is to the end. Jesus loved us literally to the end. So not until it got difficult, not until he got tired of us, even though he would have great cause to get tired of apostles. And God many times over would have reason to just say, forget it. These human beings, they keep blowing it. Over and over, I show them that I love them, and then they reject me and sin and go their own way. God would have good cause to just say, I'm done with the whole project. But he doesn't. He continues to love. He loves to the end of the world, and then forever in heaven. That's the measure of love then that Jesus is asking us. Now, of course, we know that that kind of divine love is impossible for us. So it's what we're called to. But we really can get near this kind of love in life. In fact, oftentimes we hear that phrase, well, God is love. I don't know about you, but I hear that and I'm like, what does that even mean? God is love. We don't know how to experience that. But hopefully we do know what it looks like to see love in action in this world. Particularly, we think of the great sign, the great sacrament, sacramentum in Latin, of marriage. You might not know what it means to say God is love, but you ought to be able to look at married couples and say, well, you want to know what God's love is like? It's like that. See how Joseph loves his bride, Sarah. It's like Joseph and Sarah. It's like Mary and Jim. You look at them and you're like, okay, I see how they love each other. They've been married 50 years or 25 years, or you know people that have been through incredible struggles and trials in marriage, people who have had children die or spouses get sick or people lose jobs and they stay together and they persevere. They literally try to love to the end, as they promised on their wedding, till death do us part. You want to know what God's love is like? Well, it looks a little bit like that. People who remain committed and faithful, even when it's not something that feels good. How many times today do we see people abandon their solemn promises of married love because, well, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I bargained for. I wanted to enter into marriage as something that will be completely fulfilling to me. And I will have another person that will complete me in every way. And it will never be hard or challenging because I will just be so happy to be married. Well, that's ridiculous. As anybody married more than like a year out here could probably tell you, that's not how it goes. You know, I once had a married couple that was celebrating their 50th anniversary. And, I asked them, you know, well, what's the secret? I'm sure there are many ups and downs that you got through. And she said, oh, yeah, Father. Oh, there's many times I just wanted to kill him. Yeah. I mean, the secret is, yeah. You just don't. Okay. So, I mean, there it is. The secret to a happy marriage, don't murder your spouse. That's essentially it. There are some other things, but it does get to the point that being committed precisely when you don't feel like you've fallen in love and you're just emotionally overwhelmed in a hole, precisely when it feels bad, when it feels like the cross, now we're scratching the surface of real love. Real love is a commitment to another person precisely when the feelings are gone, when it doesn't feel good. If you think about it, some of the great saints in history have said, you know, what really held Jesus on the cross? We look at Jesus on the cross and we see the nails in his hands and feet. And for any ordinary person, you know, that's what holds them to the cross. It physically binds them there. But Jesus is God. I mean, when they taunt him and say, come down from that cross if you're God. Yeah, he could have. He could have just thought it and wiped out everyone there. So what really held Jesus to the cross was love. His own will for our good. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus looked at the cross, the pain, the suffering, the crown of thorns, the nails through his hands, the beating. He looked at all that ahead of time, knew that's what was going to come. Then he looks at you and says, okay, that's all worth it. That's amazing. That is love. So it's no small thing when Jesus today tells us, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. How different this world would be if we really tried to do that. So as we hear these words from Jesus, I pray that we are challenged, that probably all of us can sit here and say, okay, I'm not doing that. How many times do we run away from God's opportunities to really love? Commitment, steadfastness. That's especially the mark of love in marriage. But I end by pointing this out. When Jesus says, as I have loved you, notice that Jesus is not married. I think our society today, even if it gets married love somewhat right, still thinks that like married love is like the highest kind of love. we talk about, you know, I'm a high school chaplain in the past, and, you know, I told the kids, never use that phrase, well, we're just friends. Because when Jesus says, as I have loved you, the word he uses to describe that love is friend. You know, these are the 12 apostles, minus one who went out to betray him. And he looks at them and says, you guys that have been with me for 3 years, I have told you everything that's come from my Father. Jesus loved his apostles perfectly and to the end. Not just he would die for them, he did die for them. And the word he uses to describe that is not marriage, but friend. So there are a lot of people, probably even here, that are not married. Maybe have been married, spouse died, it didn't work. Maybe unhappily single, looking to be married. Maybe too young and just discerning, do I want to be married? Realize that the highest love is ultimately not society's view of marriage. The highest love is what Jesus shows us. And the love he had for his apostles, he calls friendship. So today, we can all experience that love. We are called to be the friends of Jesus. Not in the way the world says, but in the way Jesus says, I call you my friends. And then he went and died for those friends. He looks at you and says, you are my friend. You are worth the cross. That is the way we can then hear today's gospel with fresh ears. Jesus says to us today, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another.